What is up, guys? Back for the third episode of Galaxy of Podcasts. Quick thanks to Anchor and Logo Maker for helping me create this podcast. And in this episode, we will be discussing the Skywalker Saga, Rogue One, and Solo. So let's start with episode one, A Phantom Menace. And I liked the idea of Darth Maul, a Sith assassin, hating the Jedi. Great idea. They could have done a lot more. And they did use him in Clone Wars and a little bit in Rebels. I also liked the Trade Federation takeover of Naboo. That was interesting. Who would have thought that a trading company who has a spot in the Galactic Senate to take over a peaceful planet like Naboo? Perfect for Darth Sidious's rise. Obi-Wan and Qui-Gon Jinn, loved them after reading the book titled Jedi Apprentice. The Rising Force explains a little bit of backstory between the two. They fit well together and work well together as seen. And I love the battle between Maul and those two Jedi. Duel of the Fates. And Dave Filoni was explaining this, and he says it's called Duel of the Fates because they're dueling for Anakin's fate. If Maul wins, Anakin will most likely just start out a Sith and not a Jedi. But the Jedi won, and he was trained to be a Jedi. So dueling for Anakin. What I don't like about Phantom Menace is all of the pod racing. It's cool and all, but it takes up a lot of the movie and doesn't really help progress the story. Helps introduce Anakin, but other than that, it's not really important. On to Attack of the Clones. Again, I like this movie. Prequels are pretty cool in my opinion. Love the introduction of Jango Fett and him working with the Separatists at the beginning. There's also some funny moments between Obi-Wan and Anakin, like, what took you so long? Oh, you know, I couldn't find a speeder that I liked. Funny moments between those two. I also like the clones being introduced. How Obi-Wan has no idea what's going on, and Lama Su's just like, yeah, we got these 200,000 plus troops for you in the Republic. And Obi-Wan's like, yeah, that's totally why I'm here. It also introduces a new Sith Lord after Maul's thought to be demise. Count Dooku, another former Jedi. In fact, Count Dooku was Qui-Gon Jinn's master. So that puts a little twist into Obi-Wan's relationship with Dooku. Now, talking about music in this movie, Across the Stars is one of my utmost favorite pieces. It's beautiful. I love it. Now, Anakin and Padme we have to address the elephant in the room. Anakin and Padme. It was a little weird the way Anakin took advantage of that situation. Talking about sand, it's a little weird. Going to the arena on Geonosis. Loved the battle. A great way to introduce the clones to the rest of the galaxy. Except the Separatist leaders. Dooku already knew it was going to happen. But still, loved the way they did that. On to Revenge of the Sith, my favorite movie out of the entire saga. Great quotes from Darth Sidious, Emperor Palpatine, like, do it, and it's treason then. Love that guy. The Emperor, yeah, pretty nice guy. So, movie starts off with the Battle of Coruscant. Great way to start off, especially with the introduction of Clone Wars Season 7. Picks up right there. The Battle of Coruscant was important to Anakin's future to kill Dooku. Going farther to the dark side. Him already listening to Chancellor Palpatine more than the Jedi. And it also shows Anakin's faults, which we already knew he had, but it makes them surface a little more. Moving on to Kenobi going to Utapau to fight Grievous. That one, another great scene with Kenobi jumping down, saying hello there. And their duel was awesome, showing Grievous's forearms and his very scary tactics. Who would want to fight a droid with spinning arms with four lightsabers? Another great point in this is Order 66. Terrible event, but still really cool. Shows how deep Palpatine worked on this ultimate rise to power. The elimination of the Jedi in with just a transmission to each clone leader might have taken a while, but still shows how dedicated he was in making this plan. Of course, him and his master Plagueis planned it, and then Sidious killed Plagueis. Like, that is the way of the Sith. Once the master is weaker than the apprentice kills him. Standard Sith rules. And talking about the villain of all three, Dooku, Grievous, and Maul. Maul focused on hatred. Dooku was a fallen Jedi. And Grievous was more machine than man. Who does that sound like? That sounds like Darth Vader. The three villains in the three prequel movies described Vader without people even knowing it. Another great quote in this movie is obviously Palpatine's speech declaring the Galactic Republic to be the Galactic Empire. The Galactic Republic will be reorganized into the First Galactic Empire. Great point in the saga. Moving on to Rogue One. That movie was interesting to me. I didn't expect to see this side of the story, but I like it. It's very interesting, like I said. With the introduction of Jyn Erso and her father, Galen Erso, Jyn being an eventual member of the Rebellion, and Galen being the architect behind the Death Star. Never knew of Galen Erso. Also introduced director Krennic, who was in charge of Project Stardust, as it was called. Now, I like the introduction of Shore Troopers. I like their armor. I like the design. I like Scarif. Nice planet. Also like K2SO, the reprogrammed Imperial droid. He was funny. Him and Cassian worked well together. And with Jyn joining them, they worked quite well with her as well, even though K2SO didn't like her. Them all dying at the end, that could have ended a little differently, but I mean, since then they didn't pop up in the original trilogy. I guess that's a one way to solve the problem, is kill them all. We've gone to A New Hope, the first Star Wars movie ever to be released. A classic showing Luke Skywalker, a farm boy from Tatooine, living with his aunt and uncle. And then the Galactic Empire holding Princess Leia captive. And then the old hermit who protects Luke Skywalker, Ben Kenobi. Like Luke's steps to being a Jedi in this movie, where he doesn't really know of what exactly the Jedi were. Of course, he heard stories of them. Everyone has heard stories of the Jedi, but they're gone now, so there's no proof, and the only remnants are Darth Vader and Obi-Wan Kenobi. And then Han Solo and Chewbacca being introduced. Those two are absolutely amazing. Han Solo being a smuggler trying to get a price off his head from Jabba the Hutt. Chewie being a slave that he rescued in the movie Solo, which we will get to after this. Of course, this isn't the first time Chewie's been mentioned. Well, it is, but he shows up in the Clone Wars TV show, episode Wookiee Hunt, and Ahsoka Tano meets him. So, I like it how Princess Leia first meets Luke Skywalker, and the first thing that comes to her mind and out of her mouth is the fact that Luke is short, even though he's taller than Leia. Strange. Of course, you got Han Solo's great conversation with Imperial Command, asking what's going on at the detention level. and Han Solo asking about his day. Such a nice guy. Of course, moving on to the eventual Battle of Yavin. Great battle. I love it. It shows how Luke is a great pilot already. Him piloting on Tatooine through Beggar's Canyon with Biggs and his other friends. And the sad demise of Biggs Darklighter. But we still have Wedge. And then the inevitable return of Han Solo saving Luke's life yet again. All around a great movie. Now to Solo. Before A New Hope, we get the backstory of Han Solo, a boy from Corellia, who escapes and joins an Imperial Academy. At that point, he was given the last name Solo, because he didn't have a last name, he was just Han. And the Imperials like, what's your last name? I don't have one. Well, one could be said you were flying Solo. Him picking up the name Solo. And then joining a gang of big shot gangsters. Well, him joining that run for some precious, precious materials. And then it all gets taken away and destroyed because of Enfys Nest, another great character. Enfys Nest is the leader of the Cloud Riders, just like her parents before her. The armor that she wears is made out of Beskar, which makes that 10 times better. Her staff is also really cool. That's a really unique weapon in the Star Wars universe. Then it introduces Crimson Dawn, with the head is Draken Voss, and his second in command is a girl that Han Solo loved back on Corellia named Kira. A very strange plot. Of course, Han Solo meets Chewie and saves him. That was inevitable to put in this, telling the backstory without including Chewbacca, who would do such a crime. And then, of course, Han Solo gets turned by Enfys Nest to more of a respectable person than he actually was at this point. And they killed Draken Voss. And of course, we reveal the true head of Crimson Dawn to be Darth Maul. Him going from Sith Lord to Criminal Empire. We don't know what happened to his Criminal Empire, but in the Rebels TV show, of course, we see Maul's demise by Obi-Wan Kenobi on Tatooine. Moving on from Solo 2, The Empire Strikes Back, which is voted to be the best movie. I like Empire Strikes Back. Shows the Empire's resolve to get rid of these rebels. Rebel scum. The rebels hiding out on Hoth, scavenging for whatever base they could. Finding it on Hoth, going there, it's a cold, cold place. And they practically just arrived because they're still setting up, like, scanners and stuff. Of course, the so-called meteorite explodes and Luke gets captured by a Wampa, which he gets scars from, which were actually real from Mark Hamill getting in a car accident. It's great to see Han Solo's devotion to saving Luke and Leia in this movie. Him going out dead at night to find Luke and then stuffing Luke in a tauntaun. That's gotta smell bad. Of course, we get Luke's premonition to go to Dagobah and find Master Yoda. Luke, of course, freezing at that point before getting stuffed into a tauntaun. And then you have the Battle of Hoth, which introduces the AT-AT, which looks like a giant dog or horse with cannons at the face. Well, the rebels find their way to destroy those with tow cables, thanks to Luke Skywalker. And of course, he has to abandon his snowspeeder after getting shot and then it being smashed. Finds another way to destroy him, which is grapple up to the belly, cut it open with his lightsaber, and then throw in a bomb. Darth Vader, of course, is back on the scene, trying to stop the rebels from escaping, but is too late. Han Solo takes the Falcon with Princess Leia and Chewie and leaves, then gets pursued by the Imperials, of course, eventually leading them to land into a meteor and almost getting eaten by a giant slug. Of course, you have the cool scene with the bounty hunters on the Imperial Star Destroyer, with Darth Vader specifically telling Boba Fett, no disintegrations. Which leads you to believe the fact that Boba Fett is the one that burned Luke's family. Why else would he tell him no disintegrations? Unless he's worked with him before. Well, on to Bespin, the planet of mining, where a respectable man is in charge, an old friend of Han Solo's, the former owner of the Millennium Falcon. Lando Calrissian. Of course, you have him saying the Empire will not go there because they're too small of an operation. And then the Empire shows up and takes them captive. Luke Skywalker starting his Jedi training after discovering a little green person is Yoda. Starts his arduous Jedi training and then goes into a cave and fights Darth Vader, which is in fact fake. The mask blows up and it reveals Luke's face. Well, Luke Skywalker gets a premonition and goes to Bespin to save his friends with the ultimate revelation that is in fact Darth Vader, who is his father, shocking entire theaters at that. Well, Luke Skywalker loses his hand after a duel with Darth Vader. Han Solo is in the hands of the bounty hunter, and that leads into Episode 6, Return of the Jedi. Han Solo being frozen in carbonite on Tatooine, Jabba's palace. The rebels now have to save them before they can do their ultimate plan, which is to destroy a second Death Star, which has a shield generator, over the planet. Well, Endor's forest moon. Well, Leia gets captured. Luke almost gets eaten by a rancor. That's awesome. That day's going great for him already. But then they eventually blow up Jabba's sail barge and go away from that planet. Well, assembling with the fleet, they now get to attack the second Death Star. Of course, the team going down to the planet Endor's forest moon to destroy the shield generator bunker. They get the assistance of the Ewoks, which, who doesn't love a fuzzy teddy bear? In fact, loved killing those stormtroopers with rocks and arrows. Quite an unexpected turn. Well, Luke goes up to face Vader one more time, and this time he turns Vader to the light side again, and they kill the Emperor, resulting in a force burst, which shows how much power Darth Sidious actually had. Then the ultimate celebration, showing Obi-Wan's Force Ghost, Yoda's Force Ghost, and Anakin Skywalker's Force Ghost on the forest moon at the party. Which leads into The Force Awakens, where it starts out on a desert planet, where the First Order obliterates a small town in search for the map to Luke Skywalker. Well, the old man has given it to Resistance pilot Poe Dameron, who gets captured. Then it switches to Jakku to find a lone scavenger, Rey, stuck on the planet waiting for her parents. Now, Rey, I will say, is a Mary Sue. The environment just bends around her, and there's really no character development there. All we really learn about Rey in the first movie is that she likes BB-8. She shouldn't be so good at piloting or fixing things as she really is, because she's only a scavenger. She knows which pieces of the ships will give her the most portions, but that should be it. No. She is able to beat Kylo Ren, trained by Luke Skywalker, in a lightsaber duel with barely hearing the Force, and goes all Jedi on him. Of course, Han Solo's death, that was a sad moment, but happy for Harrison Ford. They finally got him to kill him. The Last Jedi is an absolute train wreck. No connection with the movie, nothing that was set up by The Force Awakens. Is its own thing. Rian Johnson writing his own script and doing whatever he wants with the characters is a terrible thing. I'm not going to speak about it anymore. Rise of Skywalker could have been great, but they fired Colin Trevorrow. But it was still a decent movie. Rey revealing her lineage with a giant burst of force lightning, destroying the ship Chewie supposedly is on, revealing her Palpatine lineage, shocking everyone. No one really thought she'd be a Palpatine, but she is. And then you get kind of a Clone Wars feel with them sneaking around the ship to save Chewbacca, who survived. And then you have Rey and Kylo's connection, where they duel it out in different places. Then you have the duel on the Death Star, which was pretty cool, but they could have done better with it. And then Exegol. They could have done better with Exegol as well, but the return of Palpatine was pretty cool, showing his ultimate power by shocking all the Resistance fleet that they got from Coruscant. Leia's death was sad, and it was overall a great movie. Thank you guys for listening. See you in the next one.